Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and our Mouse Chatters today are Lauren, Steve, Bob, and Chris. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. Hmm. On today's show, we are going to be talking about doing it. That didn't sound good.
Oh, it's going to be one of those shows.
Oh, that's staying. That's
all
not
right,
going anywhere.
All right. Put the kitties to bed. We're going. We're working blue.
That's not where I was going with this.
And we all know he's not going to cut that out.
That was so funny.
On today's show, we are going.
What are you doing in there?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I gotta stop. Okay. I can't stop.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, God.
I'll get it. Just give me a second.
We may have to have somebody else introduce the show.
I don't know. I'm getting giggles. Okay, I'm going to say this and mute. Stop it.
I'm sorry, your laughing is making me laugh.
Okay. On today's show, we're going to be talking about solo parenting in the parks. All right, so solo parenting, what exactly does that mean?
I think it can mean anything from a single parent taking their kids to Disney World or, you know, just somebody like in my situation in December, you know, 4 out of 7 days because my husband had a work emergency, I ended up alone with the kids for most of the day. And that can be pretty daunting, especially if you have more than one kid, but it's totally doable. You just have to, you know, you just have to gird your loins. I don't know what that
loins.
Means. That's right.
I think that's like when you like, you know, like you're like sautéing something. You know, you have to gird your loins first to make them tender.
Isn't that what
and...
they do? No, seriously. I actually think that's what they do when they like go into battle, right? Well, you're sort of going into battle when you go into the parks.
Okay.
It's true
when you're going in solo.
I'm actually blaming Lisa for this because she got the giggle train going. So it's all her fault.
I was thinking of monkey backpacks.
The backpacks
with the,
are not
with the
a,
leashes.
You know,
that was the first thing that came to mind for me.
I have actually seen Donna use one of those on Bob.
And let me tell you, you can only go so far, and then they really do stop you. So, you know, but the backpack is cute for holding all my, you know, little toys and things in the park.
You know? No, I think you have to take a couple things in consideration. When my kids were very little, because as Bob knows, because he has spent time with us, you know, they're climbers, and you know, you probably want to be extra careful about childproofing your room. You know, there's things you can do, put on the doors, you know, say that don't get out when maybe you're in the shower or something. You know, steps you want to take even in the airport, maybe if you're not using a stroller, you know, maybe on a 4 or 5 year old, you might want to employ a stroller on that trip. And of course, the bathroom issue is really huge.
Oh, I have a
if
good
you have,
that.
You, what's that?
I have a good solution for the bathroom when they're a
what's
little
your,
older.
What's your bath? See, because I have two boys and a girl. So the girl's a non-issue, but the boys, you know, do you bring them into the bathroom with you? I mean, you know, having a 9-year-old, I mean, he was mortified when I brought him in the bathroom with me.
I would probably have the 9-year-old go in the bathroom and just wait right outside the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But like with my girls, when they were probably about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, because, you know, we were always going in at the same time. I always made them actually stay in the stall They would each go in a stall. I would go in a stall, and I would say, don't come out of the stall until I tell you I'm out.
Wow, that's a good idea. I didn't even think about that.
Well, you know what I thought everyone was going to say was the family stall, the family
room.
Except they're not really
family bathrooms. I mean, obviously they can be used for that, but they're not on a park map because they're actually meant for guests with special needs who may need them.
Yeah, but that's a special need.
Well, yes, well, it is. I don't argue that. But what I'm saying is the reason it's not on a regular park map is because they don't consider them truly family bathrooms like you would see at a mall. They consider them, you know, special needs bathrooms or companion bathrooms. So the only way to find out exactly where they are in a park is, you know, to walk have like one of those, you know, guest services. Oh yeah, to walk past them. But guest services actually has the special needs maps, in fact. But there's only a limited number of them in a park. Yeah. So if you have a true special need that you can only use those restrooms, you know, obviously that's an issue. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with a parent in that situation using one of those restrooms. I mean, I totally get that. But I would just remind people to take that into consideration and you know, not to dilly-dally.
And for just that reason, we didn't use them. So if your kids are like maybe 4 and under, you can still get away with going into the baby care centers. If they're a little older, you kind of just have to use your judgment. When I took Eric to Universal, he was 8, and I made him go in all the same bathrooms with me because it's Universal and there are drunk people and it's a little, the park's a little different. When we were at Disney World, depending on what was going on, I let him go in the bathrooms by himself. You know, it like for Star Wars weekend, no, he came in with me because, again, drunk people. But at night, you know, I mean, it gets pretty wild there at night during that time of the year. But, you know, otherwise, I just sort of tried to use my judgment. You know, if the parks weren't, you know, we don't really go when it's crowded, so I wasn't too worried about it. He was so mortified, though, when he had to come in with me.
I was going to say, I mean, it is hard when you have a kid on that borderline age or whatnot. Like, do I take them in? Do I not? And I think for the most part, there's enough traffic, steady traffic in the bathrooms that, you know, you're okay with, you know, sending in an older child alone into their, you know, proper restroom and just waiting outside the entrance. It's those bathrooms, and there's just a handful of them at Disney that have an entrance and exit that can be different.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a separate one, so you have to kind of be aware of those. I know there's one at Animal Kingdom, I want to say in the area of Pizzafari.
Right.
In that place, I think the exit is different, so it comes out a different way, and that can easily confuse you or your child. You know, you might not find one another.
Just use your judgment, too, based on your own kid, because some 9-year-olds are, like my son, he knows his way around the parks just fine. Some kids don't. So, you know, you might have a 12-year-old who's kind of naive. Take them in with you. You know what? Most moms just don't care. And there's enough privacy in those bathrooms that it's kind of a non-issue. And no, I'm not, you know, please don't email us and say that I'm advocating taking a 12-year-old in. But some 12-year-olds, you know, maybe they're not, you know, at that point. So just use your judgment.
One other side note on that. Like, I know when my daughters were younger, my husband ran into it where he was alone with them.
Yeah.
And you know, they were at that age where they kind of understood more, but he wasn't comfortable letting them go into the girls' bathroom by themselves. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know what to do because I wasn't there to answer the question. And and he wound up taking them into the men's room, and he was really uncomfortable because there were men, you know, there was doing their thing in there, and it's a different world than the girls' bathroom. And, you know, my daughters were like, it was awkward because they were of that age where they kind of were like, what's going on here, you know?
And they don't even have brothers. Like, my daughter would have been like, yeah, whatever. I see that every day.
Right. You know?
But my girls don't. But at most, really, what you're going to see is guys facing, you know, the wall with, you know,
that's
their backs.
That's traumatizing enough.
Right. But it was uncomfortable for him.
Yeah.
Sure, but I mean, you know, I mean, when you don't have any other options,
there
was
no other option. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, and you can't always plan on those companion restrooms because they are so limited. I want to say, like, at Magic Kingdom, there might be 3 of them or 4 of them max, you know, so you know, just by example, and Epcot only has a few more than that. So, yeah, you can't always plan on that. So you just have to be prepared.
Here's another thing I'm thinking about, not to get away from bathrooms because bathrooms are awesome, but
bathroom break.
Just getting around. So I mentioned earlier the whole stroller issue. We did use a stroller on that trip, and it was a godsend because I had the 2 4-year-olds sit in the stroller, and I told my kids, I said, at all times, 2 kids are going to be in the stroller, one with his feet on the ground walking. You will put your hand on – because I was nervous. I had never been in the park alone with all 3 of them, and they're young kids. Yeah. So I was like, the kid who's walking is going to have your hand on the stroller at all times. And you know what? They did it because they didn't want to have to go back to the resort. You know, they wanted to stay in the park. And that worked out really well. It's just, you know, I set the expectation going into the park every morning, you know, we're going to do this. This is what you can do. Do not get out of the stroller while we're moving. And then we would go park the stroller, and then, you know, the 2 little ones would hold hands with their brother, and I'd take his hand. And, you know, we'd walk around the park without the stroller. But getting in and out of the park, which can take a while, and there's buses, and it's not necessarily, you know, safe for kids to walk around, that worked out really well.
Chris, what do you do with, you know, telling the kids if one of you gets lost or we get separated? You know, a meeting place or find somebody?
We've never done a meeting place, but like my 9-year-old, you know, he obviously knows to go to a mom with kids or a cast member and to say, you know, here's my mom's phone number. With the little ones, you know, I have to admit we didn't have that much set in stone as far as that goes because I think they were a little too young. Fortunately, they didn't wander off, so that was really fortunate. But
I like, you know, that go ask a mom thing.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Well, I think for little children, they also have the what are those rub-on tattoos that you can put the information on, like, you know,
but
a parent's,
you know,
cell phone number.
You have kids that want to wear those, and my kids are the kind of kids, if you put those what are they, like, rub, like, they're fake tattoos, if you put those on them, they're like, this is awesome, it's Hello Kitty, and then the next thing you know, they're like, get this off of me. So I didn't buy those just because of that. And I've heard people say, you know, if you put their, you know, it's kind of dangerous if you put a tag on them with your phone number because, I don't know, they say that's a bad idea too. So I have no idea.
You know what I've seen, and I thought it was interesting? Someone took a black Sharpie marker, and I don't know if I like this idea or not, but it was interesting. Black Sharpie marker and did it on their shoulder under their shirt. So if they lifted their shirt or on their belly. I've seen it on their belly.
That's a bad idea, too.
I mean, you got to figure that if a child, a small child, wanders off, it won't be long before another guest sees them and takes them to a cast member, or a cast member sees them and would probably at that point take them to the baby care center, I think is where they would double as a lost child location. So you got to figure they're going to look in the child's pockets, you know, for like a name and phone number, or, you know, like on an arm or a hand for the tattoo. Or something like that.
Well, and you know, no one has, there's never been a child, despite the urban myths, there's never been a child who was taken from the parks, you know, against their will. But there have been incidences in the water parks where people have been, you know, touched inappropriately. Well, I mean, I feel relatively safe in the parks, but not at Universal.
No, you know what? I was just going to say that. When I lost Alyssa last year.
Because you're a bad mother?
Because I'm a bad mother.
I'm teasing.
I was freaking out because we were in Universal.
But that's, yeah, because you were freaking out
knows.
Because you were freaking out because you don't know the park. So
right, and neither does she. In Disney, she knows the park,
so,
and she knows where to go.
So understanding that, you know, many of our listeners may not be familiar. I mean, they may be, you know, first timers to the park, or they don't go very often. So they don't, you know, even if you go once every other year or once a year, or, you know, you may not be familiar the way all of us are familiar. That is a concern, but it doesn't make it any less safe necessarily. I mean, I think with an older child.
I don't know. Universal seems less safe than a Disney park.
No,
I feel
ridiculous.
The same way, Chris.
I spend a lot of time at Universal parks. I've never felt unsafe in those parks.
Traitor.
Never. Never. I just don't. I, you know.
You know why I felt unsafe? I think because they just have so much alcohol everywhere.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
that's Epcot. you know, yeah. Epcot and Food and Wine Festival on a Friday night. Okay, I mean,
yeah, but I'm probably not taking
as the night goes on. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so I don't buy into that, and I don't think we should spread that. You know that. You know, Universal is this horrible place where people are just stumbling around drunk.
Oh, I don't think it's horrible at all. I think Universal's awesome if you have, you know, you're 21 years old and you got a big fat wallet.
No, I you know what? There's not like tons of drunk people walking around that park. There's just not. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's really. I think that's you know. It's
I have a Disney
I don't know.
Pass. I'm not even going to lie.
Right. I mean, you do, but you know, but I'm in the parks enough to know that. You know, and I would see that kind of stuff, and I really don't see it all that often. I mean, I have seen it during like Halloween Horror Nights. That's a train wreck. That's
well,
horrible.
Well, I'm just saying to you, Bob, that as somebody's mom, I felt less safe with my kids there than I did at.
But you're more familiar with Magic Kingdom or whatever, and Magic Kingdom isn't a fair comparison because Magic Kingdom doesn't have alcohol. But, you know, I think it's – the bottom line is I think you have to have a plan in place for your kids. I mean, if they're older, you know, and they can say, you know, find a cast member or employee or another mom or, you know, you can even set up a meeting place. If we get separated, you know, meet in front of, you know, the partner statue or meet in front of Spaceship Earth, you know, a giant icon that's, you know, visible. You know, or at Universal, meet in front of, I don't know, the mummy ride or something. you know, so there's ways around it. Little kids, yeah, you do have to take other...
You know, I would never actually rely on a small child to meet in front of any ride.
Well, no, that's why I'm saying with an older child, yes. With an older child, you can plan a meeting place. With a small child, no. You can't do that. But a smaller child, you have to take other plans into consideration. Sure, I would agree with you.
You do need different plans for a young child. I agree.
I know. And you know, going back to the strollers, I mean, I know a lot of people say, well, my child hasn't used a stroller in a year or a year and a half, or, you know, I don't think we're really going to need one. But what are your thoughts? I mean, because you all have kids.
I was wondering when you became the expert.
Well, I have had a stepchild, and I have used a stroller in the park. So
I'm teasing you. I'm sorry.
I use a stroller, and I was like I said, I was extremely grateful for it when I was in there, you know, with the twins alone. I mean, I just think a lot of things are really different, and when you're solo, and I think that a lot of parents do, you know, hesitate to go because they're intimidated, you know, at the thought of shepherding several children through the parks, you know, and there is a big difference between like just having one kid and having. Two or three or four, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, like when they're little like that, I think what you did with the stroller, that's exactly what I would have done. You know, and even when I wasn't alone, I did that with the stroller, though, because, you know, when there's crowds of people and they're little and they can just start following the wrong person without even realizing it, you know.
Well, and I think it, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say it's kind of cute when they, you know, when you're aware of it and they start following someone else. But when you're not aware of it and they start following someone else, and that's so cute.
No.
Yeah, definitely.
More scary.
Well, I think also there are things we definitely avoided when it was just me. Like, we didn't take the kids to any of the big playgrounds. We didn't go to the Boneyard. I felt pretty safe at the pool. I think it depends on the pool. you know, the value pools are actually a better choice. Because you don't have all the theming, the fancy theming. So you got this big old pool. You can see, you know, two or three kids all over the place. Like, there's one, there's the other, you know. Whereas if you're at a pool like Beach Club, I don't know that I'd want to take several children there alone.
Unless they were older.
Yeah, like teenagers, I'd be like, yeah, go have fun.
Yeah. Even like my girl's age, I'd be okay with them going there alone because they have each other. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I could. I agree with you. I think the value resort's a much better choice. I mean, even the moderates, you have the small slides. I don't know. I think you're better off in the value.
Yeah. Love Animal Kingdom Lodge's pool at Jumbo House, but like that slide in the back with all the beautiful foliage around it, you can lose a kid really fast back there. Because I lost Eric, and it was just him and I on that trip several times. I'm like, where's my kid?
Yeah. So.
He got eaten by a lion.
On
a safari.
I think everybody should also definitely, you know, make sure you tell your kids a meeting spot because, you know, that can make it so much easier to find them quickly.
Yeah.
Well, because they won't have phones or anything at the pool.
Right. Always pick a meeting spot.
Yeah, but sometimes that meeting spot is on the other side.
True.
I'm more of an advocate of find a cast member and report that you're lost, because if both parties call in, then you both know, yes, meet here, or keep the kid there, we'll come to him, whatever the case may be. But when you have a meeting spot, like if you're in the Magic Kingdom and your meeting spot is the castle, don't ever make the meeting spot the castle, because that's just so big. But let's say it's partners and you're over by Space Mountain and you don't know where your kid is. Do you go to partners, or do you look around? How long do you look? It's kind of, get a plan in place.
Well, and that only works too with a kid that stays calm and knows the parks well.
Yeah.
If you have a kid who's only, that's their second or third time in the Magic Kingdom and this is their first trip, when they start to panic, they're not going to know where the partner statue is any more than they are, something else. They're going to be scared and, freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
So what about food? Like, food for us was kind of a challenge. Not sit down restaurants were great, except when we had to get up to go to buffets, because you're like, do I take all of them or do I just go get their food and bring it back to them?
Well, you can always request a table that is close to the buffet. So if you get up, you can keep your eye on the table.
Okay. I didn't even think about that.
That's a good idea.
Points for me. Yay.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Quick service was a little harder because, we would go into Cosmic Rays and, the kids would, at one point, Eric, because he's 9 and he thinks he knows his way around, he immediately goes over to our Sunny Eclipses, and I'm like, okay, I've got two 4-year-olds here. My bigger one just took off. I'm going to lose my spot in line. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to let him go and sit. So he grabbed us a table and I'm going, and I have no help. I've got this huge tray of food. Mm-hmm. And everything was okay, but it was a little panicky. I'm like, oh. So, that was a little intimidating. Just trying to get food was hard, I thought.
It is. And I've been in that situation, and I can't remember when, whether it was at Disney or, just somewhere else locally, where, what do? You've got one kid that is running off this way, but the other kid that needs you over here, and you really can't be in both places at once.
I felt a lot of times, and it was overall, it was a pleasurable experience. It was fine. It wasn't stressful. But there were a few moments where I was like, okay, it's basically triage. Who do I attend to first? Three people are going in 3 different directions. What do I do? It's a little scary at times. But, not to make anyone not want to go, because I think it's completely manageable. You just have to really, if you plan your vacation with 2 parents, just plan even more when it's just you.
What do you do with the rides and attractions? Do you try to find common denominators that all of them can ride, or do you let them take turns and plan out the day?
In our case, because it was just this last trip in December that Eric decided he wanted to do Big Thunder Mountain and Test Track and stuff, and he ended up doing all of that with Kevin. But when it was just the 3 of us, we just did things that everyone wanted to do. And because he's 9, for the last year, every time we go to the parks, he wants to ride Peter Pan by himself. Even if it's just the 2 of us, he wants to be by himself. And so he would go on Peter Pan by himself, but things, or on Dumbo or whatever, which I'm sure people loved us for that. But to ride a ride alone at Disney World, you have to be 7 years old. So that's a little interesting fact for you. So if your kid is 7, like say you have an uneven number of kids, or the older kid can ride in the ride ahead of you if they're 7 and up. Obviously in Space Mountain, I don't know. That's a scary ride to me. But maybe 7-year-olds don't ride that. I don't know. But yeah, you have to be 7 to ride. If they meet the height requirements.
Be alone, because Amber's going on since she was 6.
Yeah, so it's 7 years old. And they always asked, we would put him on a ride by himself, and they'd say, how old are you? And he'd be like, 9. And they'd say, okay, go ahead. And, so we didn't have any issues with that, because my kids aren't like adrenaline junkies or anything.
Well, can you do child swap if you're just a solo parent?
You can. You can. And actually, I found this out through my Facebook page because I put up an article about solo parenting in the parks, and one of my readers said that, yes, you can. Like, say, like she would go by herself with her daughter, and her daughter wasn't into Space Mountain or something, so they would go up in the queue, and then her daughter would wait with the cast member. And I think they have to be a certain age, and this lady didn't know that age, but they've been doing it since her kid was like 10. So they'll let him wait
alone.
Yeah,
I'm sure they wouldn't let you leave a cast member with an infant or something.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So. You know, your child is crying. What do I do?
And I don't know if that's an official policy or just some sort of, you know,
varies by cast member on shift.
Yeah, I don't really know because I couldn't find anything about that, but that's a really good question.
Well, if anybody listening knows, please share. That actually is – because that would be interesting to know for the future.
It's very gray.
What about what age do you all think it's okay to send kids to the park by themselves for a little bit or just let them go off on their own for a little bit? That wasn't an answer. I mean, that wasn't the question.
I didn't hear. What did you say, Lauren?
Not until they're in like high school.
I would let a 12-year-old wander around the park without me if he was responsible and knew the parks as long as I was in the same park.
Okay.
I don't know that I would.
Not at night.
Not my daughters. Not girls. Maybe a boy.
Eh. I don't know. Go ahead.
I think I went when I was in sixth grade by myself.
Yeah, but
how old is that?
12, but you frequented.
Yeah.
You frequented so right the park. Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew, and this was a long time ago, and I won a contest, and I got to go by myself and come back.
I mean, and I don't want to give people a false sense of security because people are always, sometimes people are shocked to know, like, you know, things get stolen at Disney and crime does happen at Disney, but, you know, it's a place like anywhere else. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, at any one time, you're going to have 30,000 people in the park. So,
well, and even if 30,000 people are there, something bad can happen.
Yeah,
you don't know. Anything can happen.
I think a responsible 12-year-old is probably okay if I was there, say, you know, with my two younger ones and my son, say he's a few years older, and he was like, hey, I want to go ride Space Mountain. I'd be like, go ahead and ride Space Mountain. Stay away from weirdos, which is our code for many different things. And
she won't let me and Eric hang out, is what she's saying.
But you know what? He can't wait to hang out with you because you guys both like Batman. So get ready.
That's true.
But So yeah, I'd be okay with that, and I don't know that I would necessarily have a gender issue and not let my daughter do that at 12 or so. But I would be in the park, and they would have a responsibility to be back. Like, you know, you've got 45 minutes. If you're not back, you know, I've got a GPS on you, and I'm going to find you and hunt you down. So, but ask me when my kids are 12. I mean, right now he's 9, and he already knows the parks very well. You know, maybe. But maybe at that point I'd be like, no, forget it.
So it really does, yeah. So I think it's going to vary by, you know, maturity level of the child and how comfortable you feel and how well they do know the park. Because, if it is a first or second trip, do you let them wander the park alone, even if you're in the park, you know, with them, you know, just in different areas?
And FYI, I wouldn't do it at Universal. I just said that for you.
Which I know, but biased, Disney biased.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know. I might change my mind when he's 12. I mean, that just seems so far away.
I'm dragging you to Universal and I'm buying you a churro.
Yeah, okay, I'll go.
There you go.
You have to take me too.
Okay, all right. Churros for everybody. Churros all around.
Yay.
Do it. Yeah. And my annual pass there expires in 2 weeks, so do it soon. One interesting thing is to think about rides where you can stuff everyone in. You can get 3 people in a seat in Peter Pan, Haunted Mansion. Rides like Pirates and Small World are really easy. You're going to fit everybody in there. The Clam Mobiles and Nemo, you can fit 3 people in those. So think about rides like that ahead of time where you can accommodate everybody if you have just like 3 of you or something. The other thing is, like I have this in my article, calling for backup. even when I go to Disney World with my husband and I have help, there's at least one night we like to go out on a date. But if you're there by yourself, even more so, you probably need a little help. And there's a couple things you can think about. One, if you have a nanny, consider taking the nanny. But if you're like
we all have nannies?
Yeah, because you know what? Actually, I
actually have a backup nanny too.
Yeah, see, I have to have the nighttime one just in case they wake up because I need my sleep, right? But no, in all seriousness, you know, some people do. You know, they work full time and they take the nanny when they go on vacation. But
I actually have seen that a lot, so I apologize.
Yeah. So since most people don't have that, you know, think about maybe bringing a teenage relative or something, like a younger sister or a niece or something, paying for their trip, making sure they have spending money and off time, because you don't want somebody caring for your child who's cranky and overwhelmed. But if you can't do that, one of the things I like to do on every trip is use the Neverland Club or any of the kids clubs, or you can use a babysitting service like Kids Night Out, and just give yourself a couple hours to decompress, because the parks are intense, and 4 or 5 days in the parks with you and your children alone, you're probably going to need a little grown-up time, maybe just to walk around by yourself and mumble quietly.
Well, and with the clubs, it's 3 to 12, I believe.
It's 3 to 12, yeah.
And of course, potty trained.
Yes.
Potty trained. And you know what? Book early. You have to.
Yeah.
They do book up.
Well, and the thing about those clubs is they're $11.50 an hour per kid, and there's no discount for like multiple children. And so sometimes once you have more than one kid, it's actually a lot cheaper to use the in-room babysitter. Because like for us, it was $18.50 an hour for three kids versus $34.50 an hour for three children at the Neverland Club. So we were much more inclined to use the sitter services than the clubs. However, I actually feel much more comfortable with the clubs. And
why
they get played.
Put the littlest kid in one of the closets and then have the sitter come.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's usually what we do. That's the other thing, too, is, you know, just put, like, a chair up against the door. They won't get out.
But it worked for the Octomom. And apparently Child Services is okay with that. So, you can get away with
it. Not going there.
But, yeah, so.
Until Octomom wins her trip to Disney, that'll be fun.
Is that what she's doing?
I don't know. I'm just saying that it's going to happen. Someone's going
to. I'm surprised somebody hasn't given her a Disney trip. That would be great.
I think they have. I think I remember reading a while ago. But anyway.
Lauren, your kids are how old?
10.
Okay. I know we've said that, but I'm reiterating. How does it work when you guys go into the park? Because they are older. Do you give them more leniency? What happens?
You know what? This was the first year that I actually experienced it completely different than in the past, because I have been in the parks with them before and traveled with them alone there before. But this past time, being in the hotel with them being a little older, I was more comfortable like leaving them in the room and running to get a cup of coffee, which was nice because I was able to wake up in the morning.
Now, let me ask you real quick, what resort? Because there's a big difference between leaving your kids in the room
at the Caribbean beach versus...
Yeah, Wilderness Lodge.
Right. Well, and I was actually at the Contemporary. I was right in the tower.
Okay, so that's quick. Right.
Yeah, that's yep. So it was definitely a lot different in that respect. It was really nice, actually. And then I did give them a little bit more leniency. Like I wasn't afraid to say, go ahead, go to the bathroom. I'll be right here. You know, I'm getting a little bit better with that. Like I need to be there still, but I can let them go in by themselves and I'll be like, all right, just come out when you're done, you know? So with that stuff, I definitely felt a lot different this past trip. You know, I felt like it was a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, just being able to do something like that is, you know, like...
It changes it.
Yeah.
It was completely different than I've ever experienced with them alone there before.
When do you think you'll let them go off on their own?
I don't know.
In the park.
I'm not ready for it yet, so I'll have to get back to you when I get there.
Your kids are so responsible, though. Your daughters sound very responsible.
My girls are really good girls.
You'd say that just because they're listening to the show.
Yeah.
No, but they're also – I also think they could be naive a little too.
Yeah, that is an issue.
that would make me nervous. Like, I trust them 100%. And I trust them if I say go there and come back, that they would go there and come back. But you just don't know what's going to derail them.
I just think the whole idea, though, is really, you know, don't be afraid. I mean, for me, I've solo parented Eric in the park, and it's really just been a non-issue. It's just one kid. But the thing that happened in December was totally out of the blue, and it worked. You know, you just have to put a tiny bit more thought into it. And I hate it when I'm like on a Disney board or something, and I'll see a mom post, and she's like a single mom or something. She's like, I really want to take my kid, but I'm afraid. And I'm like, don't do it. You just don't be afraid. Go for it. You know, because you can do it.
Oh, and you're gonna have so much fun.
And good memories that you shouldn't have the, how can I put this? You should have those memories.
Not like that.
You know, I don't know, you know. You know what I'm saying.
I think if you have a plan in place, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Right. It just takes a little bit more preparation, a little bit of forethought and planning, and you can probably figure it out. And you know what? If you're not sure, call us. We'll tell you what we think on specific circumstances.
And also maybe lower your expectations, because that's what I did. I was like, you know what? We're going to go in here because we paid a ton of money to get these tickets and we're going to have fun. But there are just things we're not going to do. Like, we're not going to go to the fireworks alone, because there's no way that I'm going to watch three children in a crowd like that in the dark. You know, so that was something I didn't do with them. You know, it was something I wanted to do with them, but you had to change your expectations.
Right. Yeah.
You're right there. You know, you can go and expect to have, you're not going to have the same time. If you're used to doing the parks with two adults, going in with one, it's going to be different, and it's going to be harder, and it's going to be a shorter time because you're all going to wear out.
Yeah.
A lot of things to take into consideration, but it can be done.
Kids' night out. I'm a huge fan of them. What can I say? I'm a bad mother.
You know, if you're solo parenting, solo chaperoning, you know, maybe you're taking some nieces or nephews or whomever you're taking, shopping with two or more children when you're the only pair of eyes watching them. And it can be in a park, or I was thinking downtown Disney.
That big Disney store could be very scary.
That's very scary, even when it is a one-on-one situation.
Exactly. It's mobbed in there.
I wouldn't even say all the time, but I mean, if you're going to do it, I think it's easier to do it in the early morning hours. It's less crowded and earlier in the week. Friday nights, Saturday nights, Sundays. Yeah, it is a mob scene. You'd think they were giving stuff away.
They're not?
Yeah. Clearly they are not.
Do you think it's so bad on Friday because, and this is totally unrelated, but do you think it's so bad on Friday because people tend to do the Saturday to Saturday trip, so they're doing their last minute shopping on Friday nights?
I don't think it's unrelated at all. I think that's exactly why it's crowded.
Okay. And then Saturday, and people save the shopping for the end.
Yeah, and I think, and then there are those people that come in on Saturday and do shopping first thing.
So you've got
those crowds on Saturday. So yeah, World of Disney, I mean, it's 50,000 square feet of everything you could possibly want Disney, but it is so easy, and all it takes is a second. You turn around, your kid's gone. You know, has wandered off to a different part of the store, and it's a big store. Mm-hmm. But there are also big stores like that in some of the parks. Mouse Gears is pretty large at Epcot, and
it's big.
And, that's another one, and it's got a lot of little turns and
corners to get lost. Yeah, and a lot of entrances and exits, you know, to different parts. And,
yeah, there's what, three?
Yeah.
Three entrances, right?
Three at least.
And everything is so appealing to kids in those stores because it's all fun toy stuff. Yeah. And it's like even a kid who's, you know, normally somewhat calm is just like, bam, on that stuff. Not that I have ever met any calm children, but you know what I'm saying.
What
always got me was how the rides empty out into the stores, and because we didn't go into any of the shops with the kids. We were like, forget it, you're not going in there. Because I'm one of those cheap moms. I never buy souvenirs, hardly ever. But you know, then we'd empty out. We'd get off of Pooh, and we'd empty right out to that thing. And one of my children loves Pooh, and it was just like, oh gosh, you know, I'm gonna have to buy something to get him out of here. And I did. I bought two Osos that day, Special Agent Osos.
So,
go ahead.
Chris, real quick question. So does that mean when we're in Disney, if I want to get something, I can just not go out of the store and you'll have to buy me something?
You know what? You know what? You
will that gonna... work for me? Because there's a pair of sneakers I want really bad.
Oh, I want some too. The Mickey Mouse stick sneakers?
Yes!
Are you guys going to get those? The slip-ons?
No, I want the tennis ones.
They're the ones that I have that I wear, but I need new ones.
I'm getting them.
So
we've lost them, Steve. They're on to shoes. This is now turning into a 4-hour show about, you know, different pairs of footwear.
So wait, but
you have to admit the ones that Lauren got last time after Space Mountain, those are really cool. She got some flip flops that were Mickey Mouse. That wraps up this week's show. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. Please go to mousechat.net or iTunes if you want to download our shows. They're all there. And you can send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again next time on Mouse Chat.